Hey girl, welcome to the Empower Her podcast, where we are all about taking purpose-driven action toward building lives we really freaking love. My name's Keisha, and I'm an entrepreneur obsessed with giving you actual tools to help take you from where you are now to where you want to go in your life, career, and relationships. And this podcast, it's all about real talk and having some fun as we share incredible stories, tips, and tricks to help us get out of our own way and unapologetically make some moves. So girlfriend, let's do the damn thing. Hey girl, I am so excited that you're here for this interview because we have an incredible guest today. Her name is Britt Barron. She is a powerhouse keynote speaker, teacher, and an author of a book that I absolutely loved. And if you haven't read it yet, I think you're going to really love it too. It's called Worth It. And truly, the style of this episode is really fun. And I think you're going to connect with it because it's raw and honest. Britt is just all about real talk, but she's also really freaking funny and super uplifting. And what's so cool about Britt is she's got a story that looks nothing like my story. And I really wanted to have her on the show because of that, because I think it's so important to learn from people that had different life experience than you. And Britt actually spent the first part of her life at an evangelical church becoming a pastor at a mega church at the age of 26. And then she met a woman named Sammy, who she fell in love with, but because of her sexual orientation, she had to leave the church. So since then, she is now married to Sammy, and she actually just moved to Austin, Texas, but she's got this deep passion for reminding people that choosing freedom is always worth it, no matter what the cost. And she's got all sorts of cool examples in her book outside of just sexual orientation, but all sorts of examples of how to choose yourself and that that's always worth it. And in this episode, we go all different directions. I asked her questions around fear, transitions, change, comparison. We laugh. And honestly, you're just going to leave feeling really inspired. So as always, if you vibe with this episode, please tag both of us on Instagram with your takeaways so we can thank you and just hear what you think. So without further ado, let's dive right in. Britt, I am so excited that you're here. Welcome to the show, girl.
Yes, I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
So they can't see us right now, but we're both wearing yellow and yeah. We're Enneagram 7. So obviously this is going to be super fun.
Yes, I love it. The energy.
I'm really excited. So where I wanted to start is in the first, like maybe the chapter one or two of your book, you said, is my life a reflection to who I want to be or a reaction to who I don't want to upset?
Yes.
And I loved that quote. And I jotted it down on my phone because I was like, this is so juicy. And I feel like that was like a huge premise of your book in general. So for anyone that's not familiar with your story, can you tell us what it was like to be Britt growing up and kind of what it's like to be you now?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that quote kind of, it does encompass a lot of the book, and it encompasses a lot of how I try to live my life, and it encompasses sort of a pivotal moment for me. So Britt growing up, I grew up in the, so I was born in 86. Woo! Not that anyone asked what year I was born.
89. Let's go.
Let's go. 80s. You just made it. You made the cut. So I was born in, so I grew up like in the 90s, and I grew up, deeply, religious, specifically in the evangelical church. And a lot of that was really fun, you know, like as an outgoing kid, my dad was a pastor. So, you know, just always was talking to people and talking on in front of people. And a lot of that, I think, you know, guided what I love to do now, which is talk in front of people. This is such a side note, but I saw this thing on Twitter that was like, shout out to all the girls whose report card said, can't stop talking. And I was like, yes,
that was me too. Yes. It works out.
Like if they could see me now, that's what I do for a living. Grew up in that world and in that scene. And then decided to sort of make a life out of that and, became a pastor, when I was in my 20s. Yeah. And then I met a girl and she sort of opened up for me more information about who I was, my own sexuality, things I had been hiding from myself. And then I was forced to the crisis of like, oh no. Okay. Do I continue to like live a life? Cause up until that point, my life very closely matched the expectations that everyone around me had. Mm-hmm. So there was no disruption in terms of like me veering off of like who people thought I should be. And this was going to be a very hard left.
Yeah.
Or was I like, man, that was nice knowing you, girl, but I got to stay on this path, you know? Yeah. And so sort of wrestled with that question for a long time and eventually came to the point where I realized, oh my gosh, life is hard either way. Like it's hard to manage other people's expectations and it's hard to veer out of them. But one of those hard roads is going to lead me to like a place I actually want to be and where I'm happy, like with myself and my choices.
Yeah. So how did that actually feel for anyone that's in a situation where they're having to make a change where that they know that right now they're living for the expectations of someone else, whatever that is, whether it's career or like their identity in some capacity, wanting to make a move, wanting to make a transition. How did it feel to do that? And like, what were some of the things that helped you kind of work through that feeling?
Yeah. I mean, it felt good and bad.
Yeah.
So it felt, and that's the thing that I keep saying, that the more time I spend on this earth, I'm like, I don't think any of our life experiences can neatly fall into a category much as an Enneagram 7, as much as I want like something to be exclusively delightful.
Yeah.
It rarely is. Like there are shadow sides to everything. And so making that decision to be who I wanted to be who was true to me, was so freeing and so empowering and also so hard and came with so many difficult conversations and relationships that, you know, fell apart. And so it felt like all the feelings.
Yeah. And I think that's so honest because sometimes it's like, and I'm sure you get this from people of like, oh, I want to be happy. Like, I just want to be happy all the time. How are you happy? I'm like, well, I don't actually want to be happy all the time. I want that full human experience of the contrast because it makes it so much more worthwhile. And that's really why we're here, to have that full spectrum, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So, okay. You talked about this concept of like identity fragility in your book. And you said, a question that was like, what's on the outside of the box that you're afraid to leave? And can you just talk a little bit about that concept in general?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think there's so many things that play into our identity that if we're not careful, they will go like unnoticed, right? Like very simply, this is such a simple thing, but this year, actually, I started, or I guess stopped looking at my phone until a certain time of my day, because I was like, I didn't even realize that the first voices that I put into my head were not my own.
Yeah.
Like they were other people's. Like that was my opening to my day, was like someone else's thoughts. And I think for a lot of us, our identity feels so fragile because it's lightly been stacked on other people's expectations of us. So the reality is like, if who you think I should be is my motivation, then if you're disappointed with me, the whole thing could crumble.
Yeah.
Versus if I am secure in myself, if you're disappointed with me, I that's not going to shake me. Mm-hmm. Right. But if I'm hanging on to what you say about me, and that's part of my foundation, then I need to manage our relationship, not necessarily my own identity.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. So good. So what are some ways that you obviously have conviction in now like making your own path, right? But you've gone through all of these experiences that you talk about in the book that I think are really powerful. But what would you say to the woman who just wants to build up her own confidence to actually do the thing that she knows that she wants to do, even though she knows that other people are going to react to her? Like she needs to build confidence. What do we tell her?
Yeah. Okay. Here's the best, most honest way to build confidence. And I'll even reframe that a little bit to say like, bring up your confidence.
Yeah.
Because it's there. And so the number one thing I would say is you need to remind yourself who you are. And I don't know what it is about our human nature, but we will go through something so hard. Like we will go through something so hard and then be faced with another hard thing. And for some reason, we're not able to translate that strength.
Yeah.
You know, like I was talking to someone, she's a friend of mine. She's a woman. She has three human children that she birthed from her body. And she has run marathons, like pre and post human coming out of her.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and she was talking about being super scared to start her own business. Mm-hmm. And I was like, so you're telling me.
You birthed a human out your hoo-ha.
Exactly. And then proceeded to run 26.2 miles on your own human feet. Like, if you cannot understand how strong and capable that makes you, then I don't even know what to tell you. It's not going to be my words aren't going to help. Like, I'm not going to build your confidence. You better look back at your life through every single thing that you have been through, every single mountain you have made it over, every single hill you have climbed.
Yeah.
Remind yourself that that's you. Mm-hmm. That's it doesn't matter that, like, oh, that's me as a business person, or that's me as a mom, or that's me. No, that's you. That's strength. Like, strength is strength is strength. And so I think a lot of people lose confidence in themselves because they're not able to translate strength from one area of life to another. When I'm like, oh, girl, it's all there.
Yeah. So kind of just getting intentional about looking for those things like in your past that you've been through and seeing that that strength is a transferable skill. It's just maybe not in this arena yet. So now you're working on building it in this particular area.
But reminding you, that's the same person who made it through that is going to make it through this.
I love that. Okay. One story that I loved in your book that I literally was like, I was on a run and I was like, just like actually laughing by myself at this. You talked about how there are two types of people. The people who work out with their shirt on and work out with their shirt off. And I need you to just kind of like tee up that story because there's so many women that are going to connect to that. I was literally like, that is so true. Anyway, no, tell them.
It's so true. It's just I'm not usually a categorizer, but I'm like, no, there's two types of people. And so I was in hot yoga with my wife and, my wife is just like a little pack of muscles. Okay. She's just like a, you know, and so we walk in and hot yoga, by the way, like it's meant to, like you walk in there and you're like, can I breathe? Is this hot? Am I going to be okay? You know, it's that hot. It's like Mississippi in August, no AC. And so we walk in there and immediately like wife throws off her shirt, a handful. And I look around and I'm like, wait, everyone out here with their shirt off looks the same. And everyone in here with their shirt on also looks the same. So you're telling me that the reason some of us are wearing shirts and the reason some of us aren't has nothing to do with the fact that it's 113 degrees in here. Yeah. It has to do with the way our bodies look. And I was like, this can't be. Like, this can't be right.
Yeah. It's so funny. So you then were like, you got to finish the story.
Oh,
now.
Yes. Yeah. So then this woman comes and sets up next to me. She is like this goddess, this beautiful curvy black queen. And I was like, oh my gosh. And she pulls up next to me, pulls up like we're in cars, rolls out her mat and like takes her shirt off and is just like stretching. And I was like, yeah, that looks right. That feels right.
Yeah.
So then I throw my shirt off and just start stretching. And I'm like, yes. Oh my gosh. Like this is what we should be doing. It's so hot in here. Like it's so hot. Why would I ever have a shirt on?
Yeah.
And it was just like this random moment where, and that is something I talk about, is there is something, if you're trying to remind yourself of your own strength, you can borrow it from the people around you. But that lady set me free and I haven't worked out with a shirt on until it was raining.
Since.
Yeah. So like, unless it's cold.
Unless you're in the Antarctica, you're not wearing a shirt.
If you're in Antarctica, if you're in Alaska, don't freeze. Don't freeze them off. You know.
So good. Okay, so let's talk about this topic in general, like perfectionism and the standards that women feel like they have to live up to in general. Like, what's your take on it, and how have you managed that as a woman constantly evolving, doing all of these different pivots in your career, with your relationship, all of the things that you guys are doing? How do you handle it, the pressure?
Yeah, what a weird thing, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, what is that? And I don't know that I've gotten to the source, but it... All I feel like the best I can do, the best, you know, we can do sometimes is I'm just trying to stay conscious of it.
Yeah.
So I have to ask myself so many questions in a day. Like, I feel like wild. The dialogue in my head is mostly being like, Wait, is this me or is this someone else?
Yeah.
Wait, is this right? Wait, do I believe that? Mm-hmm. Wait, where's that coming from? Like, that is literally my inner dialogue is like questioning, because I'll feel like, and as women especially, I mean, the amount of like bombardment of messages that we have, like even body image, it's like, it's wild. Yeah. Like, it's so wild and it's so subtle, but yet so like present. And so the constant reminder of like, there's one right way to look. There's one right way to look. There's one right way to look. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to work so hard to be like, I'll look in the mirror and I'll start to get critiquey. And then I'll be like, wait, why, where is that? Is that me? Is that someone else's voice? Am I saying that because I saw something on Instagram or like commercials on TV? Like, it's, you know, I feel like I'm just trying to stay as present as I can with those voices.
Yeah. And just recognizing that it's real. Cause I think sometimes it's almost like people try and like pretend like it doesn't affect them, but like, it's the world that we're living in. So I love that you're like, I'm just like conscious of the thoughts that I'm thinking. And it's essentially like, is this serving me or is this not serving me? Because this is not even me talking. This is some random like airbrush something talking to me about my body that doesn't even make freaking sense.
Totally. Like, I'm definitely not above it. Like, yeah, I'm a human being. I'm a woman in this society. And so like, I see and hear things every day that feel like, wait a minute, you know, and to think that some of that hasn't even gotten into my own head, like, it would be naive.
It's so real. Okay. Now we have to talk about fear, because you talked about that a lot in your book. And right now, with just the climate of the world, with people that are just anxious and fearful or trying to manage different like transitions in their life and maybe making career pivots or life pivots, right? It's just like, it feels heavy. So I want to talk about two aspects of fear in a way of like, how do you manage like anxiousness if you're fearful of the future or of the unknown? And then I know you mentioned in your book, you said fear is not a liar, it's a captive. And I loved that. Like, I wrote down a couple, like I would literally like run and then I just like pause on the side of the lake here in Austin. I would just like jot down a little sentence. I was like, ooh, that's good. That's a juicy one. Put that on a shirt, put that on a bumper sticker. But really, so I want to talk about two aspects of it. One is essentially the anxiousness of fear of the unknown, which I think we always have, but how are you managing it? And the other aspect of fear just in general, when you know that you need to do something and you're like in your head about it. So let's start with the anxiousness aspect. Like, how are you managing that?
I mean, what a time to be managing anxiety. I'm like, oh my gosh, name a thing to be anxious about. I can have a lot. So one of the main things I do, which is has been such a lifesaver, especially in this time, is realize and recognize that what I'm doing is imagining, like I'm making up a scenario. And then I tell myself, all right, Beans, if you're making up a scenario, why don't you make up one that's hopeful?
So
if you're going to imagine, like, you know, even like politics, right? You don't have to get super deep into it, but if I'm like, start spiraling of like, oh my God, what if this happens? Then this happens. Oh my God. Then if that happens, oh my God, we're screwed. Like, And then I'm like, well, if I'm going to make up that scenario, why don't I, if I'm going to spend time making up a scenario, why don't I make up the hopeful one? I mean, it's all made up, right? Like, this, none of it's real. So if I'm in the business of just fiction writing, basically, then I'll like stop and I'll be like, oh, but what if this happens? And then what if that happens?
I love and that.
Everything's better. And like, I can just, hey, if we're making it up, I'm gonna make up a scenario that works.
Yeah. Use your imagination in a positive way. If we're gifted imagination, use it to serve you.
If you're gonna make stuff up, girl, you better have a happy ending.
So true. I love that. And it sounds simple, but it's not always easy to practice in real time. So like when you catch yourself going down a path of like, this could happen and this could happen, what is like the thought that you're thinking or the action that you're taking that's like kind of tactical for someone that's like, okay, Beans, like I hear that, but I start to spiral. Like, how can someone catch themselves?
Yeah. You have to identify like a trigger. Like you're, so I'll be doing that in my head and I won't even necessarily notice. but I will feel my chest start to getting tight.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, oh, I need to take a deep breath. And I have associated taking a deep breath now with saying like, wait, what am I making up?
Yeah.
Like what's true? What's real? What's not? And so if you're a person who's like realizes your jaw is clenched or like you have a fist or your shoulders are like up to your ears, whatever your trigger, that's going to like make you aware that you're going down a spiral. And then at that point, it's just repetition. Like
yeah.
every time you do that, okay, what's real? What's not? Okay. If I'm imagining, can I imagine this? Okay. Mm. Okay. Okay. You know, like it's very repetitive, but I mean, I think no matter what level of anxiety you had pre-2020, you're experiencing it now
yeah.
on a bigger scale. So, I mean,
we
just have to get like relentless about, you know,
yeah.
our practice.
Well, we can't also even avoid it, which maybe some of our own old
right.
coping mechanisms didn't work. It's like, if I'm getting in an elevator, someone's wearing a mask, which reminds me of what's going on in the world right now, right?
Exactly.
If you're on social media, you know what's going on politically. You hear like, it's just, you can't really avoid it to a certain degree. So I love that your tactic is more like, rather than complete avoidance and like live in a bubble, it's manage it as it comes. And then knowing that like repetition is going to help you build that muscle, which
yeah.
is so powerful. I love that. Okay. So definitely you have done some scary things in your life. And I want to start with, okay, I mean, obviously you wrote a book, which feels like your version of like birthing a human right now, right? Like you
yes.
birthed the book into
yeah.
the world.
I was like, wow, we did this.
Well, yay, go us. So you wrote a book. What did that feel like putting that out into the world?
It was so funny, actually. So the book is about, right, like everything you said, like, okay, people's expectations on you, their disappointments, like that's not what's guiding your life. It's who you want to be. And I was like literally sitting in my therapist's office before the book came out. And I was like, I'm just really nervous, like what people are going to think about the book.
Yeah.
And she was like, does that feel ironic to you? I was like, oh no. I'm like, we're here again.
Yeah.
But it was such like, my wife always uses the analogy. She's like, I think all of our issues, like I imagine them at the bottom of a spiral staircase. Mm. So it's like, we keep visiting them each time from a different angle, but like
Ooh.
that will, we just keep revisiting, like they're there.
Yep.
And so it putting the book out weirdly felt like coming out, but from a different angle, you
yeah.
know, like some of that same, like, oh my gosh, shoot. Like I need to keep working. I need to keep moving. Like I haven't hit any sort of point of arrival. Like this
yeah.
book got, you know, it got me. I was like, oh
yeah.
Man.
But even what you just said, I think is really interesting. Like not hitting a point of arrival, like you're never going to arrive, right? Like,
no,
you know, how does that feel? Like you got it out into the world. You're like, I birthed this book.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, then you have to figure out like, what's my next big dream? Like, what's that process like for you of like coming up with what's the next thing that I want to do in my career or in my life or whatever?
Yeah. Well, you might relate to this as an Enneagram 7. I'm always torn between like something hasn't even ended yet and I want to do something else.
Yeah.
Like it was like 2 weeks before like the book launched. And I remember telling Sammy, like, I really want to do stand up.
Yeah.
And she was like, you
have should do stand up.
Yeah, she was like, yeah, that's my new dream. But she was like, you have a book coming out in two. Why would you? No, you need to do this book. Like, and I'm like, yeah, no, I know. Yeah, totally. So I feel like I have 1,000 ideas at any given point.
Yeah.
My issue is follow
picking
through.
One. Yeah. Like picking one to focus, building
exactly.
one bridge rather than like 800 bridges with 800
yeah.
tabs open and squirrels partying in your brain.
Then being like, I have 20 like half finished projects.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? I could easily fall into the trap. So I'm like, I need to pick a lane and sort of run in it.
What is your wife's Enneagram type?
She's a 9.
Oh, okay. So she's like a peace
yeah.
maker. She's down for, my best friend's a 9. So she's like always down for whatever. That's so helpful
yeah,
for sevens.
Yeah. We can avoid, oh my gosh, I joke. We have, every time we talk about money, we have to, we call it a financial party and there's wine and we make a cheese board because it's like, if it's not fun, neither one of us will both just avoid it until
yeah.
we die.
It's so real. It's so real. Which big. Subtle plug, if no one knows what they're, if they don't know what Enneagram is, we talk about it often on this podcast, but like go take your Enneagram test and then take it for anyone that's close to you, because then you can tag each other in memes, but you can also like really get to understand like why they're motivated. But that is the best. And if you're a seven, then we're all going to be friends because then it's, sevens are really cool. Okay. Now I actually want to talk for real about the fear aspect of like coming out. Right? Because I've never talked about that on this podcast before. And I think you sharing your experience could be really helpful for someone that either needs to support someone else that's going through, like that's sharing that, or is going through a transition that maybe isn't in that exact situation, but is like very fearful, and how you kind of manage through that type of fear.
Yeah. Yeah. Coming out was super scary. And it still is. And I think, what do we have next on the October 12th is National Coming Out Day. I hope we get to a place where it's a little less traumatic. Obviously, coming from any conservative religious background, you're going to have a little bit more baggage. And I think it's some of the things that were so scary to me was just the fact that I had never seen what I was trying to do. So like movies and books and all of this culture that I had consumed, none of it was like relaying back to me that like who I was, which is one of the reasons my wife and I joke, we're so lovey on Instagram, is like, I'm like, what I wouldn't have given to like see two women who love each other in a happy marriage, you know, on the internet or anywhere. And so I think anyone in the world who's trying to do something that is so antithetical to what they have seen so much in their life, I mean, they need so much encouragement. It is not, oh my gosh, my friends walked with me.
Yeah.
Through like, it wasn't like, oh my gosh, I'm gay. Oh, I came out. There was 3 years in between that. And those 3 years were filled of like, oh, but what about, and I had people who were so gentle, and gracious with me in that process to like keep like talking to me and walking me through it. And so anyone I'd say in your life who is either coming out or doing something that is so different from anything that anyone expected of them, or even that they know, you know, at one point I remember being like, I don't even know how to be gay. You know, like who's teaching this? Like, where do I find out? Like, what are the these terms mean? Like I had so much, you know, thank God for TikTok. Now I'm like, wow, I just saw my popular now. I was like, I feel like I'm like learning how to be gay again, like, just through these like Gen Z TikTokers. I feel so old, but, there's just tons of grace needed to someone's doing something they've never seen, you know, and that can be really hard.
But I also think it's so powerful, and why, like, even just like someone reading your book, like as someone who's never gone through that experience, right? We have very different upbringings. We've had very different life experiences. How in the world can you actually understand, like, or seek to understand or build relationships and understand what's going on in the world if you are not consuming content from people that are going through different experiences? Like, I literally don't know. Totally. How would I know this? And then I just want to applaud you so much, because like you said, it's so hard for people to be what they can't see, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, if they don't see it represented of like someone who's so happy and in love and in this beautiful marriage that had to go through years of trying to figure out how to give that, and relationships and people that didn't get it and that didn't support you. Of course, you had amazing people that did, but a lot of people that you had to not have relationships with anymore that you talk about in your book. And I think it's really powerful to recognize like you did the thing that felt right to you, and it took a process to get there. But because of that, would you say that because the process was so difficult for you to manage through, that you're even more grateful than you would have been if it would have been easy?
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. 10 out of 10. Like even the frame for my marriage, right? Like we say all the time, like no argument we have ever had in our marriage, in our relationship, ever even comes close to the conversations we had about like whether or not we were going to come out or what we were going to do or when we were in the closet. Like, that grit, that hustle, that hard, like I wouldn't trade it for anything. Like it sucked for sure, but I would not trade it for anything.
Oh, I love that. Okay. So what's your little like you know, pep talk for the person who needs to make a transition right now, as in like they are currently in the corporate world and they want to make the leap to being an entrepreneur, or they know that they want to uproot from California and move to Texas. Like they need to do, like they're wanting to make a transition, but they're letting fear just in general talk them out of doing it. Not necessarily because of other people's opinions of them, but because they can't muster up the like oomph to get started. How do you muster up that really good technical word, oomph, to do the thing that you need to do?
Yep. You know, that's a really good question. This might work, this might not. But one thing my dad has always said, so my dad is like a leadership guru. He's the chair of a grad department in organizational psychology and leadership. So he's always talking to me about like business and random stuff. Anyways, something he always says that I find fascinating is he says, the best time to fire someone is the first time you think about it. Because as a leader, right, in a business or whatever, like people are going to mess up or miss the mark, and it's not even going to cross your mind like, oh, this person needs to fire. So it's not to say anytime anyone messes up, it's to say there's going to be a point where you think, is this person right for this team? I don't think so. That is the time for them to not be on your team anymore.
Yeah.
All that to say, the best time to make a decision like that is the first time you think about it.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean like you say like, oh, I think I need to quit my corporate job and be an entrepreneur. Like, and then you write an email right there with your 2 weeks. But that's to say at that point, you need to start the process of doing it.
Yeah.
Because what happens is like, it's like an arrowhead. Like if we have this idea and it feels so piercing at the beginning, like I want to be an entrepreneur. Oh my gosh. Like that like hit my soul. But like if we let it hit our soul enough times, like it will just dull out.
Yeah.
Until it feels just like a little hum in the back. Mm-hmm. And that's not what we want to happen. So like you have to act immediately. And that doesn't mean like the whole shebang.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you want to relocate? Just start looking on Zillow. Just remind yourself every day that this is something that's important to you. You want to be an entrepreneur? Like listen to one entrepreneur podcast every day. Remind you, like keep that thing sharp. Like,
yes,
you cannot just let yourself like dull out that sting, because the things that hit us like that we know that we know that we know that we want, that's like the best stuff of life.
Yeah. And it's like that visceral, do you make a lot of decisions off of like a visceral, like body reaction?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm like, I felt that, we're doing it.
Exactly. And I'm like, I don't even actually know how, but I'm just going to say I'm doing it. I don't really know. But it's funny because I think often we get this gut feeling, and I think this is really common where, you know, podcast listener, like they listen to this podcast, they tell me, Kaish, like I get this gut feeling, but then I like want to like smush it down because I'm scared of it. But that's what I'm always thinking is like, gosh, that gut feeling that's super uncomfortable that we often want to wish away, like that's the thing that's telling you that could be the compass to do the thing that you need to do. If
absolutely
listen.
That's the feeling we're chasing. I'm like, does it scare you to death?
Yeah.
Does it make you sweaty just talking about it? You don't even want to say it out loud because you don't want it to be real.
Yeah. Or you're gonna poop your pants.
Like, yes,
you're
like, yes. Yeah. But like that's the thing, that's the one, like that is the one, like, oh
yes.
My gosh.
So good. I love that. Oh my gosh. I so connected with you on that. Okay. So can we talk a little bit about, so some of the listeners, you know, are typically 25 to 40 year old women that listen to this podcast, and they sometimes are struggling with comparison of this person's life. I want this person's life, or she's at this stage in her life. How do you manage that in your career, but also just being a woman going through life?
Comparison. It will get you every single time. First off, let me just say, I do that. So I do it and I am managing it. I feel like, so this is not coming from like comparison. That was so 2 years ago for me. I think one of the things that I have to do all the time is I imagine how much people don't know about my story and my life. So if you were to just see me on Instagram, and like people say all the time, like, oh my gosh, your marriage, like I want you right now. I'm like, I'm not saying it's not amazing. It's my favorite thing in my life, but I lost friendships. Like friendships that I had since childhood. I lost my job. I like went into debt trying to figure out how to make a living after being a pastor. I did like all of these things. And so I feel like when I then look at somebody and I boil it down to like this very trite, like, oh, I want her, whatever. I like try to imagine the parts of that that I don't know. Like, yep. What did that come with? Like, what did she give up for that? Like, what did she have to go through for that? Yeah. And at that point, it feels a little bit more like empathy and a less like comparison.
Oh, such good advice.
Yeah.
Well, and it's like when you think about something where like, for example, you look at someone, you're like, oh, that woman has like amazing abs. I'm like, mm-hmm. Okay, she probably never drinks wine. She eats a lot of cod and broccoli.
Right.
Do I want that cod and broccoli or do I want my charcuterie board?
I'm like, exactly.
I mean, everything comes with a price. So
like, yes, dude, or like, all of these things that people have that I see that I want and I'm like, you know, like, you know, I interviewed one time for this event I was doing, I interviewed this woman who had built up a company. She sold it for $1.2 billion.
Yeah.
So I was like,
Jamie Kern Lima. She was on the podcast.
Yeah, oh, I've had her on this podcast. Yeah. Okay. She's the best.
Yeah.
So I remember interviewing her and of course, the first day I sat down and like in my head, the first thing I'm thinking is like, I wish I had $1 billion, yeah. Right? Like a literal actual $1 billion. Yeah. Also, worth noting, she's the sweetest human being in the world.
I know. Oh my gosh.
I was like, oh my gosh, how are you so nice? That also helps with the comparison. I was like, she's nice and a billionaire?
Yeah.
But anyways, and so, you know, as we're talking and she's telling me, she's like, oh, my husband and I did 100-hour work weeks for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
10 years of 100-hour work weeks.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like it's so easy to look at like the peak of someone's like mm-hmm. success or relationship or family or abs or business or whatever and be like, oh, so jealous. But yeah. I'm like 10 years of 100-hour work weeks?
Preach.
Like that's nuts.
Yeah.
Like that's not comparison now. That's just like, damn girl, go like, off then.
Yeah. It's so true. I had the same reaction. Well, first of all, thinking that she was like the kindest human, but also thinking, okay, when I see something or someone that's accomplished the thing that I want to do, I'm like, that person has likely failed so many more times than I've tried because every time they fail, they get that feedback or they've worked their butt off and I'm just not there yet. And that's totally cool. And I think it's just like this cognizant like awareness of labeling the space between where you are now and where you want to go and thinking, do I want to do all the things on the path to get there? If you do, buckle up. If you don't, then that's okay too. Right. So I love your perspective.
I love him, but I don't want to be The Rock.
Yeah.
Like my man works. Yeah. Like that's what, I don't know if he does anything else, you know? And like, and I think that so many people look, oh, his life is so, and I'm like, he doesn't stop working and you have to like truly know, like that's what I want or what I don't. There, I had a funny conversation. Did you read Untamed?
Oh yes, I did. And I loved it.
Of course.
Yeah.
So I ordered it. And my friend Rach, she was reading it. She's like, it's so good. It's so good. It's so good. Have you read it? And I'm like, I opened it and I immediately knew this is better than anything I've ever written. I'm not emotionally ready to do that yet. It was like right before my book came out. And I was like, I just know it's going to be so much better, you know?
Yeah.
And Rach was like, bro, like this is like her fourth book and she's in her 40s.
Yeah.
So like, shift your mind a little bit and read it knowing like this is where you want to go. Like this is the thing you love writing. Like you get to read someone who is like further down a path you want to go.
Yes.
And like I guarantee you like her, which is true because I've, you know, her first book was much like different than, you know, like you read Love or you read whatever. So
I love
it's a good mental shift of like, okay, like yes, it's either aspirational or you're like The Rock, he can do something else.
Well, but what you just said is really powerful that like you look at another woman's experience or book or whatever she's doing as proof of what's possible when you keep putting your reps in. And it's like, I have people that have listened to like the very first episode I did of this podcast and I used to do these dramatic pauses because I thought that it would be like really cool. Like I'd be like, and then I forgot that like when you listen to podcasts, that means like you check your phone. You're like, is this thing still on? Because like, it's just like dead air. I don't know why I did that. But people tag me in it and they're like, Keisha, like it's so cool to see how much more comfortable and confident you've got over the last, you know, 2 years. And I'm like, that is cool too. This book, there's going to be a future version of you that's going to look back at this version of your book right now that's incredible. And you're going to be like, dang, look how much I grew. And you're going to show someone else what's possible by you being you about it. Like, that is so freaking cool. That's why I'm just like, yes, go get the book. Okay. That being said, how, like, tell us, like, what is your favorite part about this book? What has been your favorite part about talking? What's your favorite part of the book to talk about?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I think what I have so enjoyed, because writing a book is such an individual process, and then it becomes like a team sport once you put it out. It's been so fun to hear what has resonated with other people.
Yeah.
Like, there are some parts where I was writing and I was like, this is fire. And like, no one's ever brought those up, you know, but like little like random things that felt like, I'm just like,
someone's putting this on a t-shirt and then you're like, oh, no one tweeted this.
Everyone's like, this line. And I'm like, oh yes, that was super what I thought was going to happen. So, I mean, the best part is just been seeing it, the book have its own life, you know, and getting to talk to people about it and hear their experience of it has been like, it's I can't even tell you how surreal it is to like go on Instagram and someone is like posting it, like they're at their house and reading my, like that is, I mean, it's such a cool moment.
It's so cool. It's such that's such a Seven answer to like the funnest part. Like the part that would probably be really hard would be actually sitting down and forcing yourself to write the character count that you needed to write in order to get the book published. And so it's just like such a party to be like, I got this out into the world. Yes. Love it.
Yeah. I'm like, let's read it.
Yeah. It's just so good. Okay. So, what are your thoughts right now? I just want to ask you this real quick before we move into the final two questions is like, what are your thoughts right now as a Black woman in this world, how someone as a white woman that might be listening to this podcast can help support, in general, right?
Yeah.
From a racial perspective. I want to go there for a second because I feel like it's a good opportunity to do that.
Yeah, for sure. So,
I know, such a broad question, but
I know. Well, one of the things I'm always cautious not to do is I never want to give someone the answers on how they participate in injustice work. So I think the way we participate is first we have to educate ourselves. We need new knowledge. Like if you don't understand what's going on and how we got here, then you need that education, you need that foundation.
Yeah.
But then from there, it's your job to say, from my life, in my social location, in my family, in my friend group, at my job, my reality, what is my role, right? It's not me saying like, here's the five things that are going to make you a good ally. It's you saying, all right, if we live in a racialized society, we live in a society that has normalized whiteness, that has othered everyone else, what is my role? And then it's like, girl, you gotta look in your life and you gotta find that action plan. Maybe it's like a conversation with your mom. Maybe it's bringing something up at your job. Maybe it's the way you're raising your kids. I don't know. And I don't want to prescribe that. So once I just think people need to, the most important thing you do after you educate yourself is to search your own life and say, well, what's going to be my highest point of impact?
Yep. Ooh, what's going to be my highest point of impact? That I love that. That's so good because it is very personal, but at the same time, at least for me, I've realized like I've wanted to make sure that I'm talking more about this topic in general, using the platform and the reach that I do have to make sure that we're just talking about it in general, because that's such a good step in the right direction. And then actually taking action in whatever way feels right for that individual person. I love that answer. Okay, you're going to love this. So final two questions. One, we have a Spotify playlist for this podcast, and it's full of pump up jams, and every guest has to contribute one or two pump up jams. So I need to know, when you need to shake that booty, what are you listening to? What is it?
That is a great question.
As you started singing your answer.
Yes, I know. Okay, there is a song right now. I'm just looking on my phone right now because I am the worst at like knowing
the name of the song.
The names of the songs. But of course, like, you know, my wife, who like probably, all right, there's a song, Anderson .Paak. It's called Cut 'Em In, and it's so good. That's all I'm listening to right now. And you should do it too.
I love it. And then if you need to get yourself pumped up, like what, like to do anything, right? Like you need to do the dishes, you need to write in your book, you need to do something. What do you do to get yourself pumped?
Yeah. we jump up and down and dance. Like if there's music or not, like my wife and I look so dumb. Like we'll put our hands up and like high five each other, like as we jump up and down to like get hype for something, just to get like our blood going. It's so lame, but I'm like, we'll have a silent dance party whenever we need.
Yeah.
To.
I feel like you just need like cameras in your house. Like there'd be some weird things happening.
Oh my
just,
gosh. Like, dancing everywhere. So wild. We're just like,
I love it. Nothing. So good. Okay. So where can everyone find you? Where can we get your book? What are you what are you most excited about right now? Fill us in.
So I'm working on a second book.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited about it. And I have digital course on Understanding Racism 101. So yes. If you're someone who's like, I actually need a place to start, it's meant to be accessible and introductory. So it's meant to be that first step for someone.
Awesome.
And yeah, I don't know. I'm just trying to put stuff out in the world.
Okay. I'm going to call you Beans because I feel like we're friends now. So absolutely. Beans, plug your book. Where do we find your book? Anywhere, okay. Right?
Yes. The book is called Worth It. You can buy it anywhere that you buy books. You can support. You can buy it at IndieBound if you want to support indie bookstores. You can buy it at Barnes & Noble. Of course, Amazon. It's on Audible. It is me reading the Audible. So if you're not sick of my voice yet after this episode, you can check that out. And then anything you want to know about me, you can find at BritBaron.com or on the gram at BritBaron.
Yes. And as someone who I will return books on Audible if I don't like the voice, you're so fun to listen to because you've got so much vocal variety. And like, I mean, obviously people can tell from the podcast, but like you're just fun to listen to and you talk about real stuff in your book. So everybody needs to go get your book and tag us when you get the book. Let us know. And any last, I don't like to ask like best piece of advice because I feel like that's so much pressure at the end and like I want this to be fun. any little like nugget or advice or a little takeaway that you want to leave for the listeners?
The thing I keep saying, I feel like all the time to myself and everyone around me is you have got to trust yourself. Yeah. You know more than you think you do. You are the expert on yourself. That little feeling deep in your gut is trustworthy. And so go with it.
Yes. So good. Yeah. Thank you so much I appreciate you for being on the show and we'll tag all the links and all the things. And thank you again. I appreciate you.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening in. If you love this episode, it would mean so much to me if you shared it with a girlfriend. Like send it to her right now or post it on social media and tag me so I can personally thank you for helping me get the message out. I am so freaking grateful to be on this journey with you, girl. So until next time, I'll talk to you soon.